The nations were praying for the United States of America. There's going to be a revival, and we need to get ready for it. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And, you know, for those of you who didn't make it, we had Lonnie on Friday night and Saturday night, and just getting structure in the church and coming down the line who is under what, so we can get ready for this great revival. You know, I know there's all this negative stuff, you know, out there. Don't listen to the news at all. No. Anyway. You know, you got to keep up with some things, but I wouldn't listen to all those stations that are owned by Soros. I shouldn't say that. Anyway, you know what? Ask of me for the heathen, for your inheritance. That's what I was missing. Ask of me for the nations, for your inheritance. And the uttermost parts of the earth. And how do you do that? Maybe you'll never be a missionary. You know, just pray in tongues. Amen? And ask him for. Because there's brothers and sisters way out there. All over the earth. The born again church throughout the world. Not a denomination. The born again people, and they may be in a denomination. Yep. Yep. Amen. So anyway, you can be seated, and we're going to receive the morning tithes and offerings and be ready for, we're going to take an offering for our speaker at the end also. Okay. Deuteronomy 8:18. You can do it out of the Amplified. Deuteronomy 8:18. It says, but you shall earnestly means way above, you know, not just kind of, are everybody listening? It's way, I know you're getting, you're all that money ready with all those zeros. but earnestly, out of a heart, you know, earnestly. So it says, I better read it out of the Bible here. But you shall earnestly remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth or money or anything. Hey, if it weren't for him, you couldn't talk, walk, spit, eat, see, nothing. Remember that. You know what? He is a good God. But with a snap of his fingers, if he was an evil God, we would be all of a sudden just like that. You know, sometimes it's the enemy who brings on strokes. I was thinking of someone that had a stroke, because that's what they're, you know what? You have power to get wealth. You have strength in your body, and he's the one that gives it to you. Okay. He gives you the power to get wealth. Why? So he can establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Well, I have a few notes here. So we don't have to rely on our education or our profession or work hours or skills to gain wealth. Amen? You know, God gives us the power to get wealth. Do you know even that the Hebrew there for get is produce? So in other words, he shall earnestly remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to produce wealth. So he gives us power to produce. Why? So we are supplied. And we can bring others into that flow of having more than enough. Now, but why does he do this? He wants to establish his covenant on the earth. When we get wealth, we don't consume it for ourselves. But see, if you're really fired up with God, You don't even want to. I mean, but on the other hand, you automatically get it. It seems like stuff just comes to you. It is. See, you're saying it's the truth. I've experienced it. A lot of you have experienced that. And you don't even care. You want to give it into the gospel so bad because of your fervency for Christ. Okay. So, we're not to consume it for ourselves, but there will be, you know, we're to be the funders of what he's doing in the earth. Amen. And when you do that, you fund what he's doing, he'll add more and more and more and more and more and more and more to you. Or you're just saying that you get money. No, I'm not. I've experienced it. We've experienced it. And funders get funded. Funders get taken care of. In all seriousness. Money is, Jesse always says, money is just numbers. get the parking lot done. That's just numbers. And God provided. But see, money is a tool to help you establish God's covenant that he has with you. Now, we are to use it to fulfill the plan of God in the earth. Amen? But also to fulfill what's in your heart. Amen? So, I tell you, when a need is created, like in the church or in your life, he provides the seed if you are following him. He does. Now, some people wait till everything is like, till all the money comes before they make the movement toward the plan. What? I mean, it's like, okay, when I tell you what, I kept getting that scripture. Will you sit ye here till you die? Sit ye here till you die in that old little tiny crummy building down there by the airport. I mean, it was a blessing at first because we couldn't find any place to meet. But I kept getting that. Is my hand waxed short that I cannot provide? I mean, I'm not saying that quite right, but those are all scriptures in the Old Testament. Are you going to sit ye here till you die? No, we're going to move. We're going to press forward. We're not going to look like we're poverty stricken. You know, see, even the driveway, I call it the driveway, the parking lot, you know, and you said it yesterday, Pastor Lonnie, that it looks good to the outside too. And even the people we bought it from, because they thought we were, you're never going to make it. I heard the gossip all over town. In the churches, you'll never make it. Never make it. Even one bank said that. I thought, you do not know. You do not know the Holy Ghost, because I know God told me to make the steps. Went to the real estate agent first. You know what? Had some money put back, you know, but not enough. Even we put our house to get the rest of it for the down payment that they wanted. We put up our house. And you know what? In 10 months, it was paid for. We borrowed. Our house was paid for, his and mine. And we borrowed on our house $40,000. And I am not kidding you. And 10 months later, it was all back. I was, huh? I was shocked. Somebody said to me, how much do you have left? And I said, actually, there's just like right under $10,000. And you know what? They didn't say anything. And all of a sudden, they handed me a $10,000 check. See, God was always there because it's his work. It's his. So in all these 27 years, when steps are taken to start a ministry plan, even if it is like doing something to make that look better out there. I mean, God really dealt with me. He said, no, make it look better out there. The money always came. And it's paid for. That's paid for too. So you don't wait for money to give you permission towards something that God told you to do. The money will come. But you know what the whole thing is? my scripture that I said every day when we first bought this church, I remember he was so gracious. He remembered, I mean, how many churches were under you? Like a thousand? Thousands? Yeah, a lot. And he was in a Texas airport or someplace. I don't know if you remember that. I was going, what did I do? We just signed the papers. And I came here all by myself. I went, oh my gosh, oh my God. Well, the devil was playing with my mind. And he, what did I do? What did I do? What did I do? And he called and he said, well, you don't sound very happy. You should be rejoicing. But he called. Now, out of all those churches, he remembered that we were going to sign those papers. Now, that's really sweet. But, and that's paid for now. But see, if all your effort is towards saving that money rather than fulfilling God's plan, you may actually forfeit God's plan. That's what you do. I know I can see things in the past. I've actually, you spend it for something else and pretty soon other things come up and you don't, you forfeit it. I've done that. I can not. Really, stuff with God's plan, but stuff in our house. See, what does the scripture say? It says God gave you the power to produce wealth so you can accomplish his plan. The money is for his plan. That's what it's for. And then he'll take care of you way over. It doesn't make sense to the world, but we're talking spiritual stuff. Totally different. Amen. Okay, we're ready to receive it? Yep. Well, we'll pray over it, okay. Lord, because we are tithers, the windows of heaven are opened over us, pouring us out a blessing we can't contain. We say that the devourer is rebuked for our sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of our ground. We bind him from doing that. And neither shall our vine cast her fruit before the time in the field. We bind that. Nations and heathens will call us blessed because we are a delightsome land and they will see it. And because we are sowers, the hundredfold return is going to work on our behalf every day. Because God is able. He is able when we give to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to us in abundance. He is able because you trust him. In all circumstances, whatever the need, we are self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work. And I never told you the scripture. I kept saying, trust God. I would go like this. It was something would get low. I go, God, I trust you with all my heart. There might be tears coming down when I'd say, I trust you with all my heart. I'm not going to lean on my understanding or look at the bank account or the books or anything like that. Nope. I trust in you, Lord, and you will direct my path and you will support me. Trust him. Trust him with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and ask him and talk to him, and he will direct it. He will. Man, I'm serious about what we're, you don't just trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't need your blah, blah, blah. You know me. I just, when you say a scripture, sort of, get something out of it. Make it from your heart. Okay. All right. You can sing. We're going to receive it. Hallelujah.
The voice of the Spirit of God. Learn the voice of the Holy Ghost. He will always speak to you in line with the Word of God. And God isn't trying to get something from you. He's trying to get something through you. And anytime something goes through you, it'll always bless you also. You hear what I'm saying? What we're talking here about, even sowing in the kingdom of God, and I think for part of the purpose I was here is because of the season we're in, this church, but also the season we're in as the church, the body of Christ. So much is happening around the world right now. The word is just falling in place. Like, remember years ago, George Peppard and the A-Team. I love it when a plan comes together. And we're seeing a plan come together right now. A lot of things that you may have knowledge of, but you look to the Word. And I remember when I first got born again, well, I was 8 years old. But when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I was 20. And when I the first person I ever heard speak was Hilton Sutton. And I was just simply amazed at how he opened the Word of God. And I thought, you mean you can understand the Word? That was my first thought. Really? You can understand the Word? Yeah. It just shocked me how he opened it up, and he made it seem so simple. But a lot of things he was sharing, even at that time, were seeing it come to pass. And the other day I was talking to Happy Caldwell, and he was telling me some things that he has knowledge of, and even some things about Russia and how they're setting themselves up just like Hilton Sutton always talked about the Bible that says the bear comes down from the north toward Israel. But praise God, it also talks about the eagle flying over. That's the United States. Amen. So thank God for our president we have in there. Whether you like him or not, I think he upholds Israel. He's holding up the church. So I thank God for him. How can I speak evil of him or even Obama years ago if you're praying for him? And the Bible tells us what? Pray for those have authority, right? Pray for those governing authorities. Pray. It says pray for all men, so those in authority. How I pray in line with that word is I prefer that pray for those in authority in government, those authority in business, those in authority in the body of Christ. I pray that they're walking according to the Spirit of God, being listening to the Spirit of God. You see, some people will hear the Holy Ghost and don't even recognize him. That's okay. Because the Holy Spirit's working on our behalf. He'll even do that for unbelievers in politics. Listen, pray for them. Pray for them in the decision they make. Pray for those that are influencing them. Now, I grant you there are some that do have a hard heart. And dear Lord, why am I getting off on this? But anyway, what we do, we pray for them. And as the song we were singing, which was scriptural this morning, about praying for the heathen, praying for the nations. There's a responsibility when you do that. Number one, you cannot select who they'll be. You can't turn away who you don't necessarily like. They don't fit your bill. I don't know. Well, you can't ever do that. And I know that when I was pastoring, we began to really reach into our community, and a lot of things began to happen, you know, a lot of people coming into the church that some people were shocked by. But listen, I told them, I said, listen, don't you ever try to select who can be a part of this church. They don't have to be your, I don't know what word to use there. But it always blessed me because I know this one couple, I knew they were millionaires. And I saw this one young man sat next to him, didn't even have a job. They went around to embrace one another. I saw them hugging one another. And that blessed my heart. There was no status keeping them apart. They saw one another who they were, okay? We had a lot of, I had a lot of prostitutes come in our church, sit on front row, dress halfway over the top of their head. Dear Lord, I'm thinking, what am I doing here? You know, and Lord says, you love them like you love anyone else. We had several homosexuals come to our church. Man, I love them. Dear Lord, Jesus died for them. I'm not going to push anybody away. I love them. But deception's deception. You're going to try to help them out. We did. We got some of them just, praise God, set free, walked with them. And I'm so glad to tell you, the two that I'm talking about, one was a man, one was a woman. They married somebody else in the church. Guess what? They are all in ministry today, have families and children and serving God. So don't tell me God doesn't change some things in people's lives. I mean, there's a lot of confusion in the world right now. I like Brother Greer, what he said. If you ever wonder what you are, male or female, take your clothes off, stand in front of a mirror. There's your answer. Amen. So thank you, Brother Greer. Good answer. Good answer. Hallelujah. Well, my wife is with me, but she, when we arrived Thursday, something happened when I left. I don't twist her back a lot, but she's been on a lot of pain. She is better, but she couldn't stand up long enough today to take a shower. But does that discourage me? No, it makes me mad. But does it discourage me? No. Why? Because I've prayed. See, when you trust in the Lord, you don't look at the situations. You can have peace in God. You can do that when it comes to healing. You come that with finances. You can come that with relationships. It's what you're going to focus on, because what you focus on is attracting you to release your faith to believe that. That's why you have to watch what you believe, watch what you say. Because remember, your words are more for creation than communication. Because your words are creating. You're made in the likeness and image of God. In the beginning, God said, let there be. Yes, he wasn't just communicating, he was creating. You're made in his likeness, in his image. Watch what you say. I don't mean to be legalistic by that. You can't get legalistic. You can't beat one another up. If they're saying something wrong, you smile, love them, and you just begin to speak the right thing over them. Why? Because it has to be a revelation. See, we can't make people be where we're at in our walk in life, the revelations we may have. We have to let them grow. I shared this the other day. If you start trying to make people change their lifestyle because you're putting pressure, you will teach them to do what you want, not do what God wants. You will teach them to be a pleaser of men and not a pleaser of God. Growth is a process. Let them grow. 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 So before I start, though, I want to ask, is anybody in pain here today? Anybody here in pain? You are? Praise God. Would you two stand up? If you're in pain, I want you to stand up. You're in pain, stand up. Tell you what, devil think he's going to attack my wife, I'm just going to slap him in the face where he's trying to work. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to understand what I just said a minute ago about words are more for creation than communication. When Jesus spoke to the people, he didn't pray long prayers. What did he say? Be healed. What happened when he said, be healed? Those were creative words in line with the will of the Father that released the anointing inside of people and they were healed. So I stand before you today to speak God's will and God's word over you, and I simply create and declare it in you, be healed. In Jesus' name. Now look to the Lord right now and begin to thank him. You don't look to me. You don't look at anybody. You just thank the Lord. He has provided healing for you because God and his word are one. And he said he sent his word to heal. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. It was Jesus. He purchased and paid that price for you. He suffered for you so you don't have to suffer. So in Jesus' name, the healing anointing, I thank you, Lord, is flowing in these bodies. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Glory to God. Healing anointing flows. Hallelujah. 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 When I pray for myself or pray for someone else, I have to do what I have in my heart, not because somebody else may do some things, because I don't judge them. I have some people say, well, check yourself out, make sure you're healed. Well, that's because the Spirit of God's talking through them. I don't do that because of this. Why should I ever go to my body and ask it if it's healed when it can let me down? When he who will never let me down said, I am healed. So I don't confer with my body. I confer with God. And even though it says sometimes there may be some pain lingering, guess what? It has to change because I'm a man of authority over my body. Amen. 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 Well, glory to God. Somebody happy to be here today, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you have your word with you?
Yes.
Good, 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 good. Turn to Galatians, the 5th chapter. I'm going to share something that God's been dealing with me the last several weeks. And so I'm going to dump it on you today, okay? No, I'm not either. I'm going to share with you what God has put on my heart. My prayer when I come to a church is I want to help. That's my sole heartbeat. I want to help where I go. I want to be a help. I want to fill in some gaps, maybe give some understanding. As I shared the other day with Pastor, when you read the word, you get knowledge. But listen, knowledge alone, the Bible says, puffs up. And you know what that means? some people are fatheads. They have knowledge, but they're not using the knowledge. Energy you take in, if you don't use it, stores up, but becomes fat, okay? But knowledge alone puffs up. Well, Bible really tells us we need to get knowledge. But when you get knowledge, then you get, oh, now I understand, comes understanding. So first comes knowledge and comes understanding. But problem is, too many saints today stop at that point. You need to go to the next step. What's the next step? It's called wisdom. Wisdom is how you apply knowledge. It's how you apply your understanding. Not only is it how, it's also when. Understand that things in life, even though they may be right, if they're done at a wrong time, they're wrong. And I shared that one time with a man in my office when I was in Tulsa. At one time, our offices was on the 54th floor of the Cityplex building. And I was talking to this pastor. I said, you know, direction is one thing. Timing is really everything. Because right now, if the Spirit of God told you to go north, it's better if you go down the elevator to the first floor and go north, not out my window. You understand? Timing is everything. So get timing. How do you get that? By listening to the voice of God. It'll always line up with the Word of God. But you need to develop a dependency upon His voice, the way He leads you. The way He leads you. Sometimes it's just a knowing. Sometimes there's just such great peace there, you know, as He witnesses to you. But it'll always be in line with the Word of God. Here in Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 22 and 23, I'll read it first in the King James. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Now, Heavenly Father, as we break the bread of life together today, we do it for Your nourishment, that You're nourishing our spirit. You're helping us see more clearly. You're helping us know more of what we, who we are and what You expect of us, but what we can do and what we can be. For, Lord, we desire to grow in life. Lord, we're not satisfied to live in yesterday. But Lord, we know You take us from glory to glory, faith to faith. Lord, there's always increase. So Lord, we refuse to settle because we know if we settle, we'll die. Lord, instead we press on in as Your word tells us. Press toward that mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, we press and we understand that pressing means there's a resistance. Sometimes our bodies, sometimes our minds try to resist. But Lord, we are dedicated to learn more of who You are and who we are in this earth, that we might bring glory to You. We might walk in freedom, but Lord, we can bring freedom to other people. So Lord, in this passage of Scripture today, teach us, feed us, for we receive from You in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, 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 amen. Amen. This passage of Scripture here to me is, God has really been speaking to me from this standpoint. A lot of times we go to the Word of God to find some of the blessings and some of the promises of God and what He'll do for us. And we begin, oh, look, here's a promise, here's a blessing. This is what He said He'd do. But this passage of Scripture doesn't talk about what we're looking for from Him. It speaks of what God is looking for from us. It speaks of God's expectation upon us as a believer. And when I see God's expecting something, that all of a sudden becomes an exclamation point. I need to be aware of this. But you're going to find this to be true, I believe. Producing fruit is not accidental. You don't accidentally produce love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. You don't just accidentally do it. It doesn't happen accidentally. And just because you believe something doesn't mean you're going to have an impact. Just because you believe something doesn't mean it's going to have an impact, because it's not automatic. Believing doesn't mean you're growing. It's when that believing begins to get into your behavior. Amen, amen. See, growing old isn't the same thing as growing up. It's true. Growing up isn't the same. You know, just because you're getting older, maybe you've got the genetics that's allowed you to live this long. But the thing about it is, we need to be growing and become more wiser. But some people get older, they don't get wiser. Some people get dumber, it seems like. I remember one lady in my church, she said, some people think these old people are nice old people. But she said, it was so funny, she said, but you have a dirty young man, you'll have a dirty old man. She was in the nursing home. And anyway, she was sharing that with me one day. I just giggle so much. But really what she's saying is true. So growing old isn't the same thing as growing up. You know, we need to grow. We need to grow up. But let me ask you, why is it such a hard thing, this thing called growing up? Why is it seemingly such a hard thing? Well, Paul gives us a list of things here about the fruit, you know. But I want you to understand that growing isn't always easy. Because there's things in our life, patterns that have been established, thought patterns, behavioral patterns, many things that's been established through life, through experience, the way you was raised, the way you observed others, they become patterns in our life, and they have to be broken at time if they're not in line with God's Word. Amen, amen, amen. So Paul's not the only one that was speaking about fruit. Jesus spoke about fruit. And as a matter of fact, Jesus, he spoke in a parable one time, and a parable simply is a story that's told naturally, revealing a spiritual truth. Here in Luke, the 13th chapter, I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation. Luke 13, I'm going to start in verse 6, New Living. It says, then Jesus told this story. A man planted a fig tree in his garden. He came again and again to see if there was any fruit on it. But he was always disappointed. Finally, he said to the gardener, I've waited 3 years and there hasn't been a single fig. Cut it down. It's just taking up space in the garden. The gardener answered, sir, give it one more chance. Leave it another year and I'll give it special attention. Plenty of fertilizer. And if we get figs next year, fine. If we don't, I'll cut it down. So in this story, Jesus has drawn us a picture. There's this man, he has this garden, and he has this fig tree. He goes out there time and time again. He does it for 3 years, trying to find some figs on that, and it isn't there. You know. And he says, why is it taking up space? Let's just cut it down. But the gardener says, hey, let's just give it a little bit more time. Well, what can we take away from this? Well, one thing we can take away is this. Growth is a biblical expectation.
Yes, it is. Amen.
Growth is a biblical expectation.
Yeah.
I tell you what, when you stop growing, you get old.
That's right.
I'm growing. I'm constantly growing. I'm constantly increasing in my knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. I'm constantly getting more inside of me. I refuse to stop, to give up, to lay down.
That's right.
You know. Sometimes my body would like to, but my body has to do what I tell it to do. You hear what I'm saying? Maybe 72 years old, but I tell you what, I'm growing. Why? God expects it. See, what God plants, God expects to grow. You're in Christ Jesus, He's expecting you to grow. Don't you ever settle. If you stop, you'll settle, you'll die. Amen, amen. What God plants, He expects to grow. Now, what happens a lot of times in life, a consumer mentality in the world has really tried to invade the church.
Yep.
Let me back that up and just share this. I think I may have shared it one time with you, but there's the man, his name is Fred Smith. He started FedEx. And I know a pastor in Texas, and he was with John Maxwell. And John Maxwell knows Fred Smith, and he was going to go see him, and he asked this pastor I know to go with him. So here was Fred Smith, John Maxwell, and this pastor. And they were in there, and they began to talk, and this pastor told me, he said, I felt like, man, I am out of my league. I'm listening to these two brilliant men speak back and forth. By the way, Fred Smith, in college, he did his term on building FedEx, and he failed it. The professor said, oh, that'll never work. But anyway, he started FedEx. He's a born-again believer, very strong in his faith. And they're talking back and forth, but finally Fred Smith turned to this pastor and said to them, what's wrong with the church? He thought, oh dear Lord, I don't want to open my mouth. So what he said is, what do you think is wrong with the church? Fred Smith says, The church has become consumer-minded and not distributing-minded. Consumer-minded. A lot of people have feed me. I want certain things. I want it this way. Consumer-minded. And they almost want to look at a church like you would a cafeteria. A cafeteria, you go in, you pick out what you want. And the cafeteria says, we want to keep your business, therefore we're going to make sure you're satisfied, so we're going to do what you want. That's a cafeteria. That's not a church. And if a church begins to adjust itself just to make to please people and not please God, they are out of order. So we're not going to talk about them. We're in this church. We cannot be consumer-minded. It can't just be about me. Now, don't you ever come in my presence and say, well, I'm not getting fed at church. Dear Lord, you mean you only eat once a week or twice a week? Don't you feed yourself? God has made you. You're born again. Listen, if you're a baby, we'll feed you. But as you grow, because God expects us to grow, we need to be feeding ourselves. So if I say, I hear somebody say, I'm not getting fed at church. Well, I say, well, you need to be feeding yourself at home. When you come to church, if this is where God's called you, maybe it's because you got a gift that needs to flow in this church, because maybe they need you. It isn't just about me anymore. It can't be just about you. God has a plan, and it includes each and every one of us that we would fulfill the place that God has placed us. And in order to do that, we have to grow. We need to grow in love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. God expects it. God expects it. And so we can't have a consumer mentality. So this parable is not talking about what we're seeking from God. This parable is talking really about what God is seeking from us. Amen, 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 amen. So God refuses to let us stay where we are currently.
Thank God.
Fruitfulness is a standard that God has set. So we have to look at our own lives. Now, he's using this parable here. And at this time when Jesus was walking the earth, a lot of people were really dealing with agriculture, whether they were in the vineyards or they were in the fields, you know, whether they were growing their crops or processing crops. So a lot of people would understand that particular parable. But what is fruit? Fruit is the transformational work of the Holy Spirit that causes our beliefs to show up in our behavior. It's a transformational work of the Holy Spirit. Because it says, the fruit of the Spirit is. So the fruit of the Spirit is the transformational work of the Holy Spirit in our lives that changes our beliefs into behavior. So fruit is what? Beliefs become in behavior. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. So, somebody said, well, help me understand that. Well, let me ask you this question. Anybody here believe in love?
Yeah.
Have you ever found it hard sometimes to love some people?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How many of you believe in kindness?
Yeah.
Have you found it hard sometimes to be kind to some people?
Yeah.
See, God's wanting to take what we believe and transferred into our behavior. Amen, amen. So that's what he said. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. This is the New Living Translation of Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law against these things. So we see again, fruit is the transformational work of the Holy Spirit, where he takes what we believe into our behavior. So fruit is when belief becomes behavior, but it's not always an easy road. God knows that. It's a process, folks. Growing is a process. I see some little children in here. Aren't you mothers glad that growth is a process? Aren't you glad you didn't have an adult when you gave birth? It's a process. They grow up. Okay, they grow up. And we all grow up in different ways, sometimes taller, sometimes wider, but we're all in this process of growing. It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. So see, don't get hard on yourself or other people, but you better set some goals. You better be honest with yourself, honest with God, and understand there's some things I believe, but I'm having a hard time seeing them in my behavior. Therefore, what do I need to do? I need to allow the Holy Spirit to do the transformational work in my life and in your life, right? And listen, you don't have to tell people what you believe. They see it. You see what people believe. You even hear it. Here's something you might try doing. When you say something negative, maybe you're saying, man, I'm sick. Add this to it. That's really what I believe. Or I don't have any money. Oh, and that's really what I believe. Why would I ever want to say that? Because it begins to reveal to you really what you do believe. Just a thought. You don't have to tell people what you believe. They'll see it. Matter of fact, you go up to a tree, there's an apple on it. That's a sign to you. That's an apple tree. How do you know it's an apple tree? I see the fruit. I see it. So there has to be produced. I could plant a tree and it's a stick about this high, and you say, what kind of tree is it? You look down at the label says it's an apple tree. It's an apple tree. How do they know it's an apple tree? Is it by the fruit? No, you don't know. You really don't know until it produces fruit. But I tell you what, it's not going to produce fruit that first year. It ain't going to produce fruit even that second year. It's going to take a few years. It takes time. So why I'm saying that, I'm giving you understanding and liberty to grow. Don't be hard on yourself, because you're not going to grow if you get hard on yourself. But you're going to have some goals. You're going to have this understanding. It's a process, and I need the Holy Spirit to transform me from my beliefs to my behavior. So what we're talking here about in this about fruit, I want you to notice something else about fruit. This instance here in this parable, fruit first takes place because there's a problem. See, a lot of times you're not going to focus on something until you identify the problem. It's when you identify a problem, you can begin to go for a solution for the problem. Isn't that amazing? I thought that was amazing reading this. So a parable in the Bible was not because there's a fig tree. It's because there's a fig tree with no figs. It should have had. Let me help you out. Anybody married? Have you ever had your spouse say to you, we need to talk? Right then you know this is not going to necessarily be a joyous time. You're not really excited. You're thinking, oh my gosh, we're going to have a talk. You know, some news is going to be delivered to you, probably of something you're not producing. And we're going to talk. You know, in ministry, a lot of times we call this coming to Jesus moment. Somebody, when they say, we got to talk, somebody's coming to Jesus. They're going to be on their knees. They're going to be praying. They're going to be repenting. But I can tell you this, though. If it happens and it seems to reoccur next year, the same old problem. The next year, the same old problem. 4 years later, same old problem. I tell you, by that fifth year, I tell you what, that relationship, you've identified a problem, and if it needs to change. In other words, you're either being inspired to grow, you're either being forced to grow, or you're going to be forced to go. Listen, folks, what is it? There needs to be some fruit in that marriage. There needs to be some healing, some changes, some behavioral changes. And there was time that was given. But understand, when we do not have behavioral changes by allowing the Holy Spirit in our life to help us, we can create problems, folks. So what God's saying, I want you to grow. 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 So most problems in life probably come from what? people. Comes from life, because life is unfair. It is. It's unfair. It is. It's just the way life is. So it can be people. It could be life. It could be self-inflicted wounds. You could be shooting your own toes. Stop shooting your toes. You ain't got any toes left. You don't need that anymore. Stop shooting yourself, okay? See, some people are their worst enemy, okay? Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. But I have found this. I've read it and I've seen it before, and it just came up in my spirit, and it's this. People will usually grow to the height of their problems, never to their potential. That's why people change when the problem is identified, and they make adjustments to correct the problem. You hear what we're saying? That's why even in this parable, it starts with a problem. There's no figs. Listen, this parable had been real short if Jesus said, man had a fig tree, went out, got a fig, came back at it, and he ate it. End of story. No problem. No problem. But that's not what happened. The guy went out there year after year trying to find a fig. It wasn't there. It's not producing anything. And so he said, hey, cut that thing down. It's just taking space up here. Listen, God's saying we need to keep growing. Give yourself time. Don't be that hard on yourself, because that's when you begin to shoot yourself in the foot. But listen, problems in life many times are the reason why we change. It's sad. I hate to say that. Can we change without a problem? Yes. But most behaviors do not change until a problem is identified. Glory be to God. Okay. All right. Let's talk about me then. Where is an area in my life I have some difficulty? It's probably when I get behind the wheel of my car. And it's probably when I go down a highway and somebody gets on my tail. I do not like tailgating. And my thought is this. I got this speed and one slower, Jack. Which one do you want me to go? This one or one slower? I remember my mom saying one time when somebody was tailgating her, I never will forget this. She said, well, if he just got up 15 minutes earlier, he'd be ahead of me. But when they're tailgating me, it gets under my skin and I want to react. Maybe slow down. And that's not right, you know. And when they go around me, I want to give them the look. But maybe the Lord is saying to me, Lonnie, are you letting something so small cause you to react in such a way? And I think at that moment, Lord, why did you have to interrupt me when I was thinking about a most intelligent way for man to react? But sometimes, you know, God will speak to you when you got a problem like this. And he's trying to say, hey, there's something you need to deal with. In other words, could there be something else in my life I need to deal with other than that man behind me? Was that come on an amen for you or for me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if you're going to be fruitful, you're going to have to deal with some problems. Listen, we all have some of them. Why? Because we're growing. We're growing. But when you have a desire to grow, when you have a desire to please your Heavenly Father, when you have a desire for the Holy Spirit to do that transformational work inside of you, of showing what's wrong, but showing you how to do it, and showing you at times, whoop, don't go there, don't go there, don't go there, you know, then we're going to begin to have some growth in our life. Amen, amen. So if we're going to deal with some of these problems, hey, it's going to take some work. It's going to take some disciplines in our life. I know that's a dirty word, but it's going to take some disciplines you must learn. You're going to have to work through some problems. It requires discipline in your life that's going to help you in your future. And always remember, when you are increasing in love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance, you're also increasing your influence in the lives of others. Amen. So meaningful growth doesn't have any shortcuts. I wish I could say to Pastor Jackie, I'd like to delegate to you my integrity. Would you work out my integrity for me? You can't do that. You can't delegate to somebody. I have to do that. You have to do it. You cannot delegate it out. So sometime to do this, we need some growth enhancers. Growth enhancers. That's what they said they were going to do this year. He says, give me another year. I'm going to cultivate. I'm going to dig around. I'm going to add some fertilizer, growth enhancer to this tree. Now, I don't know about you, but growth enhancers to me doesn't smell good. Now, today you buy a bag of fertilizer, there's no fragrance. But listen, I'm a boy from the farm. I had to scoop that cow manure and put it in that manure spreader and take it out there. That stuff stunk, especially inside the barn. And when it's, ooey gooey, sometimes you couldn't even hardly breathe. So listen, fertilizer stinks. As a matter of fact, when I hear some people say life stinks, you know what I think? God's fertilizing them. God's fertilizing them. They say life stinks. Yeah, God's fertilizing you. He's digging up. He's putting some fertilizer on you. He's put some growth enhancers around you. And how many of you know people can be growth enhancers? I didn't say manure, did I? But anyway, people can really be stinkers in your life that's going to cause you to give in or to grow. How many of you had people in your life that's helped you grow? I have, both positive and those that's tried to be negative. You see what I'm saying? That's what they are influences in our life. So without some people in your life, you probably wouldn't have grown. So now you can start thanking God for those people. But growth is not automatic. It just does not happen overnight. Notice what the gardener said. He said, sir, give it one more chance. Leave it another year. I'll give special attention and plenty of fertilizer. See, the thing about it is this. Life does not happen at the speed that we want it to. Life doesn't happen at the speed that you necessarily want it to go in. So what do we do? Holy Spirit, oh Lord, I want to know your voice more and more. I'm wanting you speaking in my life. I want to be centered to your spirit. I want your transformational work to take place in my life that I can grow and produce the love, the joy, the peace, the gentleness, the goodness, the faith, meekness, the temperance. It doesn't happen at the speed that we want it to happen. So if you're going to bear fruit, you're going to have to be willing to grow. God expects us to grow. Here's some a little side note. If you ever want to go to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, it's a love chapter. Love is every one of the fruits that we're talking about.
Yes, it is.
Love is, what does it say? I've written it down here. I forget what translation, but anyway, it says, I think that this may be the Passionate translation, but it says, love is large and incredibly patient. In other words, it's long-suffering. Love is gentle. That means meekness. It's consistently kind. Man, that's gentleness. It refuses to be jealous when blessings come to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievement or inflate its own importance. Man, that's meekness. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect or selfishly seek its own honor. Man, that's temperance, self-control. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty. Man, that's joy. It finds no delight in what's wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter. Man, that's peace. For it is never stops believing the best of others. That's faith. Love never takes failure as defeat. It never gives up. Man, that's long-suffering. So what we see, that's what love is, all the fruit. So when we have God in us, the transformational work of the Holy Spirit is transforming us to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Where does it start? With a heart wanting to grow.
Yes.
A heart that is willing to have growth enhancers working in their life. People, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit. But people who are not satisfied to stay the same old, same old.
Amen.
You know, when they went out there and they saw that fig tree, the fig tree say, hey, don't get upset with me. Look, I got leaves. No, we're not after leaves. We want fruit. Yeah, but I got leaves. I'm alive. No, we want more than blood flowing in your veins. We want you producing fruit. Honoring the Lord. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says this. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep or obey His commandments, the word, for this is the whole duty of man. In other words, everybody's duty. Amen. 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 So what are we talking about? Oh, the Holy Spirit wants to transform us. Yes. Oh, you'll have some problems. Yeah, you'll go through them though. Yes. When you trust in the Lord. When you're taking the whole word, not just part of the word. When you're just saying, Lord, here am I. I honor you. I love you so much. I want to honor you. I want to bless you. The Bible says God will over, He will sing with joy over you. I just want to hear my God singing about Lonnie. Yes. Right, Lonnie? I want Him to hear. And when He says, Lonnie, I love you, I'm going to say, me or him. No. No, I want my Lord rejoicing. I want Him so excited that He created me. I want Him to be pleased because of my life. I want that fruit to come out. Why? Because all of that fruit is God. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. Listen, all of this is what's going to touch people's lives. Why? Because number one, it's not what you're saying. Because your belief has now become your behavior. They can see it. They can see it. It nourishes them. It encourages them. It challenges them. And you don't have to do a lot of preaching then. I was listening to Joe McGee the other day, and it was so funny. I love Joe. And he was talking about he's wanting his whole family to get saved. So every year at Christmas, he'd take his whole clan, his children, his wife, go to all of his family gather. But he'd preach Jesus to every single one of them. And after a few years, they were getting tired of it. And the next year at Christmas, he wasn't even invited. And he called up and says, Mom, did we not have a gathering? Yeah, we had it. She said, we just didn't want you there. All you do is preach to us all the time. So he got his kids, set them down, said, listen, we're going to go next year. We aren't going to preach to them one bit. We're going to get there early. We're going to help set up. We're going to clean the dishes after. We're going to straighten everything up. All the messes will be gone. We're going to love on people. And we're going to. And they did that. And after 2 years of doing that, the people said, you have changed. And Joseph said, yep. Well, what is it? Jesus. But what he did, he said, I started waiting for them to ask questions. Because they saw something. And when they asked the question, that was because their hearts were open. See, you can't push hearts open. Holy Ghost can open them. All we do is observe and recognize and go through an open door. What does that do? That gives you so much peace. You're not under pressure. I want people saved. I want people saved, but I can't force them to get saved. But you know one thing I can do? I can have behavior that blesses them as they see God working in. That causes them to ask questions. Amen? But the key is being led by the Spirit of God. Because sometimes the Spirit of God say, I do want you to open up this conversation. See, it always goes back to the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's going to do the transform work inside of you. He's the one that's going to lead you. He is your peace. He's your comforter. He's your teacher. He's your guide. He's your anointing. God the Father anointed the Son, Jesus, anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost. You got the Holy Ghost in you? You got the anointing. On the inside, I'm going to listen to Him then. Be led by Him. And I'm going to let His transformational work take place. Yeah. Even when I drive my car. Even when I drive my car. Lift your hands, begin just to worship our Lord. We love you so much, Lord. We honor you. We exalt you. We lift you high. We place you at the throne within our life and our heart. Lord, we want to be conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, you didn't tell us to be conformed without giving us the agent to be transformed, the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, it's the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, it's you that in your transformational work that transforms our life and takes us into places of knowledge, understanding, but then wisdom with the word that we have. That it has created our beliefs, but now you're helping it be seen in our behavior. Father, produce the fruit in our lives. For we know that Jesus is the vine and we're just the branches. You are the life-giving source that comes into us that would even produce the fruit. Lord, you've made it so much easier than our legalistic minds used to think. Oh, Father, we just love you today. Now, Lord, I pray for every person in this room. I pray for everyone to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to them. Lord, identify the problems in our life. For, Lord, we don't change until we see that there's a need. So, Lord, show us the problems so we can be changed. But, Lord, also show us our potential so that we don't always have to wait for a problem. But we can be who you've called us to be. I pray this, Lord, there's a liberty coming on people, a liberty to grow, a hunger to grow being released in this body right now, a hunger, a desire to grow in you. For Lord, I know as it affects their behavior, it will affect this community. Father, we're taking care of first things first, our lives. That we might sustain the lives that you want to bring in the house. Yes. And Lord, we are not a club. We do not push back. We do not want to keep it where we're at. We want people to be born again and filled with your Spirit. So Father, we're doing our part by submitting to you this day. And Lord, I pray that in the heart of each person in here right now, that they submit to you in the growth process within their life. That they grow from a belief into the behaviors. Now, I thank you for that anointing being released on them right now. And I thank you for those we prayed for in the beginning of the service to be healed. I thank you that healing anointing is working in them as it is in my wife right now. Amen. Lord, we just love you so much. Oh, everybody just begin to lift your voice and love the Lord. Tell him how much you love him, how much you appreciate him. Tell him how awesome he is. Tell him how grateful you are for his love. Thank you. Thank him for your salvation. Thank him for filling you with his Spirit. Thank him that he's given you a future. Thank you that he has provided you the grace in your life to be who he's called you to be. Give honor to the Lord today. It's not what you've seen in the past. It's what you're seeing now. Because what you're seeing now will take you into your future. Stop looking at the past. Stop looking at failure. Stop looking at disappointments and frustrations. No, God says it's time to open your eyes to the things of the Spirit. And see what He wants you to see. Because what you look at is what you become. Oh, the Lord says what you look at is what you become. Therefore, bring every thought into captivity. Bring every thought into captivity. Thinking only on those things that are good, pure, lovely, just, good, and report. Cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. But hold fast to the truth. Hold fast to what God has placed within you. Oh, it's a time of transformation in the body of Christ, a strengthening and encouraging and equipping for the days that are here right now. So, Father, as I bless them in their spirit, their soul, their body. I bless them in their finances. I bless them socially, Lord, the people they have relations to. And, Lord, I pray that your heart be in their heart for other people. Now, I seal that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Sis, are you in pain now? Are you in pain? You aren't in any pain now. How about you got something? Just be honest with me. Do you have any pain?
I have an ache.
You have an ache?
But it's going away.
Is it better than it was?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Shandai.
Right.
That deserves a Shandai gazebo. Sis, how are you doing? Are you in some pain right now?
Not as much as I do.
It's going, isn't it?
It is going.
Woo! See, we're never frustrated in the process of healing.
Amen.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yes. Amen.
We don't say, oh my gosh, it didn't work. No, we don't. It did work. It's working. It's working. Even when you can't see it, it's working. Even when you can't feel it, it's working. He never stops. He never stops working. Oh, stand up now and lift your voice. Oh, shalabakavriya soli batando. Glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. Glory. Lord, you never stop. Your word is true. Your love is powerful. Your word is true. Your anointing is pure. Your anointing is powerful. Lord, you flow through everyone. Lord, you throw, you flow, you flow, you touch, you heal through everyone. Now, Lord, in that, we just worship you in your holy presence. We just declare how good you are and how welcome you are in our lives. And we know, Lord, that when we walk out of here today, we know ministry continues. Because we have this heart and this attitude. We're receiving constantly, but we're constantly in a position to be led by your Spirit to help someone else. With a smile, with a touch, with an encouragement, with a prayer. Lord, we stand open to your leading. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As I turn it over to Pastor, if anybody did need personal prayer afterwards, I'd be available up front to pray for anyone. But I just run out. Hallelujah. God is good. Did you receive something today? Praise God, praise God. Taking our beliefs into behavior, it's a transformational work of the Holy Spirit. Allow him to work. God bless you. Pastor. Hallelujah. Bode Naha.
That was good, good, good. That's the first time he's given that sermon. You said you had gotten, so you can be seated. We're going to receive an offering for our speaker. And remember, he said about prayer. You know what? Sound booth? Change that to Waymaker by Bot. I know, there was a song. Yeah. Okay. So, actually, what I've got is Galatians 6. This is out of the Amplified, verse 5. 6, I mean. 6, 6. Let him who receives instruction. Amen? Did you receive some instruction? In the Word of God, share all good things with his teacher, contributing to his support. Now, I mean, you know, for those of you who weren't here at the sessions, they were absolutely wonderful. And we have DVDs. We were in the fellowship hall in just a real casual setting and could ask questions. Why did I say all that? Oh, he was talking about the only reason, now everybody listen to this, he made this trip, not this trip, I asked him to come and teach in the Ministry of Helps. Okay, however, on the way, there's different pastors that were sick, that the wife died, and he stopped there and ministered to them. You know, having to pay for a hotel, you know, and stay overnight here and there, a couple days here. And I don't think you're going to speak until Wednesday again, are you? No. He's going to South Dakota, and then you're coming back to Columbus on Sunday. Yeah. So he's, you know, all those days, you know, it's and he's doing that just to help them and to mentor them and to lift them up. You know, somebody's wife died. That's awful. you know how that feels. And then this other one, he had, yeah, like a blocked bowel, I believe. I know him. Yeah. So that's a serious thing, too. The enemy's kind to destroy pastors and all of you who are, and you know what? We're all getting well, though, aren't we? We're getting fixed up. Fixed up for the revival. Anyway, so you know, contribute to his support. Do not be deceived and deluded and misled. That's verse 7. God will not allow himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretensions pretending, professions or biased precepts being set aside, being a fake. He inevitably deludes himself who attempts to delude God. You can't delude God. I mean, he knows your heart. It's a matter of the heart. You can act all this woo-hoo-hoo on the outside and be a big fake. But, you know, and just because somebody's doing that, they aren't being fake necessarily. They're real. You know, some people might be, but you can tell. You can tell by their life. For whatever a man sows, that and that only is what he reaps. For he who sows to his own flesh, lower nature, sensuality, will from the flesh reap decay and ruin and destruction. And you can go on and preach on that. But he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. You know what? Listen to the Spirit. Listen to the Spirit. You know, I know we were like the money for the carpet was carpet. But he kept telling me, no, do that first. You know, and I know the next thing is we're going to do that front here. Okay, and let us not lose heart, don't grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right, for in due time and at the appointed season, you'll reap it if you don't loosen and relax your courage and faint. So then, you know, and just what he was talking to, you got to wait, like the apple tree doesn't produce fruit for 3 years. Somebody gets to be a Christian. No, you got to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to say this, and you got to. Don't do that. Oh my gosh, they're gone. Yeah. So then, verse 10, as the occasion and opportunity open up to us, let us do good morally to all people, not only being useful or profitable to them, but also doing what is for their spiritual good and advantage. Be mindful to be a blessing, especially to those of the household of faith, those who belong to God's family with you, the believers. And, you know, like he said, live the life of God. Live the love. Live by giving and being kind and patient with people and you know, and gently correcting them if it's going to destroy them quickly. And it works. You know, let people know who they are in Christ. That's so important. Oh, my gosh. That's so important. Because, you know, as he is, so are we in this world. Yeah. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. I keep saying that over and over. You know, as he is, so are we in this world. It's not us, though. It's him. He did all the work for us to get there or to even do anything. Amen. Always give him the glory. Anyway, did we pass out the envelopes? Yeah, we did. Okay. I need ours. the check. That's okay. I get it. Yeah, I should have given it to you.
Hallelujah.
Make out ahead of time. Ask the Lord. And so, Father God, we thank you. It's such a privilege and an honor to give into the kingdom of God. We give this, Lord, as a heart of love, Lord, that we may reap all the benefits of sowing this seed into this ministry. It's called an evangelical ministry is what he has his own ministry also now. And so, Father, I thank you. I thank you that what was spoken today from the Word of God and the fruit of the Spirit is sealed inside of our spirits, Lord, and the enemy cannot take it away because it says he comes immediately to try, but he's not going to be able to do it because we're saying this. So thank you, Father, and say this with me. My God supplies all of my needs. But it's according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And see, you go from glory to glory, too, and keep moving up. Amen. Okay, so ready for that? You can go ahead and show it. It stimulates us more. Yeah, okay. Oops. Okay. Amen. Yeah. We're just going to show because of the way we...
You are here. You're working in.